radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome in to Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from
Highway Cantina.
There you go, Paul. I'm
is
glad
my
you
mic
said
on?
It.
Yeah,
your mic was on. Okay. We're broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo, very close to the ballpark. This spot is awesome.
Oh, yeah, man.
Just because they're your friends, but now they're going to be my friends. This is going to be a go-to spot.
We already got some of my boys from the center field crew at Minute Maid Park that are here. This is when I go sneak away from the press box and sit by some other margaritas. But this is where the best margaritas in town are. So it's good to see them out here. Everyone should be coming over here, whether before the game or after the game, especially if, I don't know, there's a little broom action.
Yeah, man. We might need a couple margs after the way the
Astros. I need a margarita right now because of that.
I feel the same way, dude. This team is they make me sad, Paul. They make me sad.
The worst part about the last two games is that you've gotten great starting pitching performances out of two guys who got absolutely shelled.
Mm-hmm.
You got it out of Spencer Arrighetti, and you got it out of Hunter Brown. And keep in mind, the Braves offense is arguably the best in baseball. But you couldn't score!
You could not ask for anything more from your starting pitching.
Nothing more.
I mean, Hunter Brown, like that
he
is.
He was awesome. You know, the two runs at the end, maybe he got left in too long, and I'm sure the Joe Espada haters are going to come out and say, oh, well, you know, what was he thinking, leaving him in there as long as he did? I don't know, man. Let the man build up his confidence. Obviously, things got a little dicey at the end. Sean Bearded Dubin came
Dude,
in and cleaned it up.
Thick.
It is very thick. I feel like that's got to be very itchy. But the offense is the problem. Again,
it's very bad, and it's funny because like we put out the social video the other day where you and Sean were clowning on Sean and I because Sean was agreeing with my battered sports fan syndrome, asking just Hunter Brown to suck a little bit less. Well, he didn't suck at all. Like that's the last 2 days. That's what's weird about the Astros right now. As frustrating as the last two games are with the offense, at least Hunter Brown yesterday followed up performance from the day before. You know, that you are from Spencer Arrighetti that you're very happy with. Like, it's just, it's positivity when you have Justin Verlander officially coming back on Friday to face the Nationals after a day off. Like, yes, you play the Braves today. Avoiding a sweep would be massive. Just with what you have coming up on your schedule, it's crazy how important these games feel. After every single game, all over social media, what you see and what you see on the broadcast is it's always, Paul, it's no team has made the playoffs starting at this bad of a record since, like, 1981. And you're just like, well, yeah, that's not good. But you're still only, what, three and a half games back of your division? Because your division sucks, too.
Rangers are only at 500 in first place.
It's the only division in which there's no one in it that's above 500. So, mm-hmm. like, you're still right there, as bad as everything is. But the Hunter Brown, much better. Spencer Arrighetti the first day. And now you just hope that J.P. France doesn't go out there and dump the bed and the offense can do something. Please.
They need some runs. I have a friend in town here who is a Braves fan. She is very cocky. And I've been texting her the last couple of games because she's been at the games. Telling her, can these pitchers F off? Because they are throwing some filthy stuff. But to our conversation yesterday, I don't want to panic. It's early and they're only a couple of games out. They just got to win the division. The division is not out of race this early. The schedule is going to get easier. But at one point, is the runners in scoring position issue going to go away? Because last night, 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position, 7 left on base. They were 1-for-7 with 8 left on base on Monday. It's not like the Braves don't have this problem to an extent as well. They left 7 on base last night, but they're 3-for-10 with runners in scoring position, and things get going. And they were 5-for-13 with runners in scoring position on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They left 10 on base in that game. Maybe this left on base thing is just a byproduct of good offenses in baseball in 2024.
They're coming around.
But for whatever reason, this team is just not hitting in the spots that they need to. And I don't know how many more times I can say it. You know, I feel like a broken record, Joe. I don't know what else to say at this point other than, well, hopefully it gets better. And you assume it will get better at some point, but crap, man. Here we are. It's game after game after game. It feels like I'm in an episode of Groundhog Day.
Yeah, so I'll give credit to Todd the show here. He tweeted this out earlier. Over the last 15 days, the two Astros with the lowest OPS besides Jose Abreu are Yiner Diaz and Chaz McCormick. Chaz McCormick is in a brutal funk right now to start the season, or at least in this recent stretch.
Yep.
But we talked about this yesterday. You know, like I'm starting to come around on the idea of Jeremy Booth just a little bit. A little bit.
No. I want you to dig in so that when we bring him in studio that you guys are going
to
go off.
Well, the problem is for me to dig in, I need the Astros to do something, Paul. Mm-hmm. Like the first day was easy. He said, Yordan Alvarez batting second, blah, 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 pumpkins. I think that was before he used the pumpkins. But then Yordan Alvarez had a great day the next day batting second. Well, since then, he's been kind of right. But one of the things we talked about yesterday and where I'm coming along with Jeremy Booth and his thought about lineup construction was the idea of maybe Joe Espada should change it up. Well, Joe Espada has changed it up. Today, Alex Bregman is batting third in the lineup, sandwiched between Yordan Alvarez batting second and Kyle Tucker batting fourth. So clearly Joe Espada is saying, you know what, we're going to try something different too. And it sounds like, from when he met with the media, this isn't just because they're facing a lefty on the mound today. So they're clearly going to try some new things too. About damn time. I don't know if it's going to work, but at least they're trying something different because it's like, I agree with you. Like, how much more can you say except it's bad without really wanting to go into full panic mode? And I'm nowhere near wanting to panic about the Houston Astros season because of the talent on this roster, where they're at in the division, and just the fact that they're still a good baseball team. It's just, I just feel annoyed. I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed about the lineup. I'm annoyed about Dana Brown. I'm annoyed about Reggie Jackson.
I'm annoyed about Jeff Bagwell. Dana Brown needs to shut his pie hole.
Yeah,
he just needs to stop. And the Astros disaster response team, as I said before, lie to me in different ways. Just lie to me in different ways. Don't keep telling me the same effing thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Joe, I thought it was a prank when I saw from Brian LaLima this afternoon that 2 weeks in a row, Dana Brown is saying, well, if you look at the back of the baseball card, this time not for Jose Abreu, this time for Josh Hader.
Yeah.
Dana, shut the hell up. Shut up.
So just to keep score here a little bit, over the last 4 weeks, Dana Brown has said twice the Astros will go on an 8-10 game win streak.
Yes.
And he has twice used the back of the baseball card argument for players. So I'm curious what the next 2 weeks will be.
Can they pay me to be their crisis response team? Could they do that with me?
Paul, the text line here says we need Paul Gallant as Astros GM.
I mean,
we're going to get to this later. You've already been elected to a board, okay? You are a board member.
It seems like I am on the board of an HOA as of last night.
I can't wait.
I did not ask to be on it. I think I just got placed on the board of the HOA for my condo.
I can't wait to really discuss this because I have so many questions for you. But, like, you've already been elected to that board. Why can't we just elect you as the GM of the Astros? Or do we just elect you as...
I would not elect me with anything that has to do with money, seeing as I had to do some shuffling today on credit card bill day.
Oh.
May have made a couple of mistaken payments.
Okay, now pay too much or pay too little?
Pay too much.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, it wasn't my best move.
How do you fix it?
You
like call and ask for the money back?
Do better math.
Okay. So you're just kind of SOL. Like SOL.
I'm not in like such a bad spot, but it's more like, oh, whoops. I made more payments than I thought I was making over the course of one day. Because I always pay all my credit cards on one day, and I paid a little too much.
Good thing the margarita is only $9.75 here.
That's true.
So
it's not like at the place where the Astros can't win, where it's $375. Thanks, Joe Biden.
But speaking of elections, my sources here tell me, Paul, is you have rigged an election, and you have elected yourself the minister of positivity.
Yeah.
For the Houston Astros.
Yeah, that's true. And Sean back in Mission Control, I don't know if this thing is ready to go, but I even put some bells and whistles to it because, listen, things aren't great, you know? But they could look at the back of the baseball card, Joe, for the Houston Astros over the last 7 years. You know what it says? ALCS appearance every single time. 4 World Series appearances, 2 World Series. So, Sean, can you hit the music?
Oh, no. What are we going to do? The Astros! Astros are off to a slow start.
Maybe we gotta fire Joe Espada.
It looks like the season's over.
Silence! I am the Astros Minister of Positivity. How dare you question their greatness?
Talked about it before. Hunter Brown. 6 innings. Just 2 earned runs.
Positive.
Kyle Tucker already has 5 home runs in a contract year. 40 home runs? Possible.
Positive.
Jeremy Pena.
Jeremy Pena hit 2 doubles yesterday.
10-game hitting streak.
Huh? Positive.
John Singleton is batting 258.
That's like 8 times better than Jose Abreu.
Some people are shaking their heads and saying, why, here at Highway Cantina, that's better than Jose Abreu. That's not bad.
It's a lot better than Jose Abreu.
It could be worse. So there's lots of positives, guys.
Lots of positives.
There's lots of reasons to stay positive about the Houston Astros. Don't look at the record. And honestly, don't listen to people telling you to look at the back of the baseball card. All you got to do is just realize that there's always positives in every single day of your life, and that today is the greatest day of your life. Astros are 0-0 from April 17th on. You know? Totally new season. Now that we're 19 games in.
Now that we're 19 games in and J.P. France is taking on Max Fried today, let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. I just hope, like, just get through today. Make it not bad today.
I just hope that J.P. France, you know, avenges the French crime in Texas City back in 1947 that we discussed at the end of yesterday's show, that big old explosion that launched a anchor. What was it? 2 miles?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, baby.
Now, Max Fried does have an 8.74 ERA this season, so maybe the Astros' bats will come along.
Oh, that sounds like free runs.
He had 3 earned runs his first game, 7 his second when he played the Diamondbacks, and then 1 in his last game. So his last start was much better. Obviously, Max Fried's a very good pitcher, but trying to take advantage of a guy that's struggling, and a lineup that they're just winning more games than you, but, man, the Braves feel like they're mimicking the Astros a lot. Like this feels like two teams that are very much in the same place. They just happen to have a couple more wins.
Hell yeah.
What did you think about Forrest Whitley last night, Mr. Positivity?
Well, he pitched.
He did pitch.
He officially is a major league pitcher.
Look, you know what I remembered yesterday? I lost a wager yesterday.
You lost a wager?
I lost the dinner.
Why?
Because 3 years ago, or like 2 years ago, I placed a bet that Forrest Whitley would never pitch for the Houston Astros. And I got a text yesterday from a long-haired radio host who happens to be on the radio at the same time as us, saying, hey, man, you owe me lunch. And he sent me a screenshot.
Damn.
Of, like, podcast notes from a day in which we did a show together.
Damn.
Like, 2 years ago.
Well, listen, some people have long memory when it comes to bets.
And apparently.
Are you trying to shirk out of this bet that you made?
No, because I was so confident that I was going to be right. And
yeah, because you didn't believe in Forrest Whitley, but guess what? He made it and you didn't.
Took 8 years. I think finally
you
made it.
I think you should get me a lunch right now at the Highway Canteen.
Oh, we can do that. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
We'll get you a dinner next week, too, at Le Bourget.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't see why not.
You're just being too negative, Joe. Classic negative Joe.
Well, I mean, I know, like, the idiot on, you know, Twitch here, Junior Bronco, my favorite person who loves me so much, thinks I'm being super negative. I literally, word for word, said I'm not freaking out or I'm not panicking. It's just things are just not good.
I'm going to isolate the quote. Freaking out. You said
freaking out
in this segment. Did you say you're freaking out?
Listen, probably not.
We could play with words all day, baby.
Yeah, we can. But the Astros take on the Atlanta Braves today.
He called you Joe Bartman.
Dude, I can't tell if this the only thing I do need from Junior Bronco is I need you to tell me if this little emoji puts in Twitch chat, if it's actually Steve Bartman or if it's me. Because I think it's me.
That is you.
I think it is, too. But I don't know, like, I give him credit for doing that.
I met Junior
he's
Broncos.
He's my antagonist.
And his lady at an Astros game. And that is one of the taller guys. He is surprisingly tall.
Well, then I'm screwed. I'm
5'6". He could kill you.
Well, I like Junior Bronco.
He towers over me.
Yeah, I like Junior Bronco. He's like my number one antagonist.
No, see, you need to have someone like that on the show.
That's true. I really do.
We're talking about our Twitch chat, baby.
We're talking about our Twitch chat.
Sometimes
we're broadcasting.
Toxic.
We're broadcasting live from Highway Cantina. We mentioned this briefly, but Dana Brown, once again, back of the baseball card. He is the one part of all this struggles with the Houston Astros that I am most frustrated with is the propaganda that these guys are putting out there time and time again.
Bad.
We'll get to that next on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo.
And let me tell you about the Highway Cantina, 975 Tall Texan Margaritas, the Highway Cantina. I hope I didn't annoy everybody that's here at the Highway Cantina, but guys, you better get your butts down here to watch some baseball with us, to hang out with us. We're going to be here all day long, whether you're going to the game this afternoon or leaving the game a little bit later. This is your go-to spot in East Downtown. It's not just the drinks. If you haven't been here before, this is an amazing place. And not your traditional Tex-Mex spot, because you take a look at what they've got on the menu. And, yeah, of course, they got fajitas. Chicken fajitas are the best chicken fajitas I've ever had. But they also have things like wood-fired oysters. Ooh, it's getting me rowdy. Also, on top of that, you got, like, mesquite sausage. Let's go. The Highway Cantina is your go-to place in East Downtown, whether you're about to go to a game, leave a game, or maybe you want to impress your boss. You work downtown with a nice little luncharooski. Maybe, on top of that, you're looking for a happy hour with some of the people you work with downtown. This is my favorite spot in Edo, maybe my favorite spot in Houston. Get on down here to the Highway Cantina, and have yourselves a wonderful time. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
3331 on the text line. Email me, please. joe.george@galmedia.com. I'll help you out. I don't know how else to communicate that with you besides this. So, Dana Brown was on the flagship this morning. And once again, being challenged about some of the issues that have been going on with the Astros roster. And he was asked about Josh Hader. And last week it was Jose Abreu, in which he used the back of the baseball card. This week he used the back of the baseball card to defend Josh Hader's struggles. It's just, I think he just doesn't know what else to say. That's my take here, Paul. I don't think Dana Brown knows, you know, we get accused of being not baseball boys, of not being able to break things down, X's and O's, because we didn't play ball. Maybe Dana Brown doesn't know ball. Maybe Dana Brown can't give a real reason why Josh Hader's not good right now. And so he just says, look at the back of the card.
You know, I wish it was that.
Me too.
I really wish it was that. Someone texted in, by the way, Paul Gallant should not be the general manager of the Astros. I agree. To what Joe just said, that's true. Listen, guys, when it comes to baseball frightens me. You know, I'm just a simple high school football legend. Mm. And this game confuses me, bores me too, but confuses me. And yet, I know that what Dana Brown is doing is just repeating whatever the Astros crisis team is telling him.
Yeah.
I remember hearing buzzwords like this over and over again. I've worked in media long enough to, whenever I hear the same thing being said to explain something away, where I get mad. I go back to Deshaun Watson's introductory press conference with the Cleveland Browns, where he said, I did not disrespect, I did not harm anyone. Every single question went back to that same statement, where he said the same three things over and over again. This is no different. And we're not idiots. It's a slow start, and yeah, you can say don't panic. And of course, you kind of have to if you're going to do a weekly interview on the radio. But if you start pointing to the back of the baseball card for every single slow start, and that's your go-to, people are not only going to remember it, they're going to crush you for it. Mm-hmm. Is that what the Astros' intention is right here? Is it for everybody to get mad at Dana Brown as opposed to Jim Crane, as opposed to the Brain Trust featuring Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson? Is it supposed to deflect away from the players? It certainly is doing that to an extent. We're talking about Dana Brown, not the Astros' struggles right now. But it is disrespectful to offer the same lie over and over again. It is disrespectful to offer the same excuse over and over again, trying to encourage people that everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, it's just annoying because I would rather him just be honest in this moment. Like, for someone that tries to portray honesty in what the Astros are trying to accomplish with contracts, with free agency goals, when he has said multiple times in the offseason that he believed in their starting pitching depth and he would ignore, you know, the potential injuries that would happen worse than what was already there. You know, like, he seemed honest. I don't think there's anything wrong with just being honest and saying, look, Josh Hader is just he's going to be fine. Like, we signed him to this contract for a very good reason. We know he's going to be okay. But, yeah, he's not happy with his performance, and we're not either. Like, that's okay, too. But just to say, well, look at the back of the baseball card. Well, the back of the baseball card doesn't win games. The back of the baseball card is batting .082 for Jose Abreu. It might be worse at this point. The back of the baseball card, when you're in a position to tie baseball games, Joe Espada is leaving Jose Abreu on the bench. Josh Hader is making $95 million over the next 5 years. It's insulting to the fans' intelligence, in my opinion, to just be like, well, he's going to be good. Well, the problem with that argument is that the last two times you've been using this nonsense, you've been wrong. So it also makes me think you're going to be wrong now. Like, I think that's also why I hate the argument. If he said back of the baseball card with Jose Abreu, and it just, like, magically, and he was right, then maybe this would be a fine excuse. But 1 month of good Jose Abreu does not make me enjoy this argument from him anymore at all.
No. It's condescending.
Big time.
At best. Or that's all he's got. But you're repeating stuff that Jeff Bagwell said last year, and you're repeating stuff that you said last week. And if you keep on saying this over and over again, I think it sort of shows that there's a little bit of disrespect towards the people that are watching on a daily basis. Oh, you don't know ball. Oh, you don't get it. No, people are frustrated. They totally have a right to be frustrated. And I suppose that you got to sit in there and answer the questions, and this is a strategy certainly to do it. But
now, he did tell us today, apparently. He said he'll let us know when it's time to panic.
That no, he won't. No, he won't. That's another lie.
When they're eliminated from the playoffs?
Look. No one's ever going to tell you to panic when it comes to a professional organization because they will be fired immediately when that happens.
That would be wild.
You guys should panic. We're effed.
That would be
worse. We're screwed, you
that
know?
That would be way worse.
We are donezo.
I would rather him go back to the baseball card there.
I would respect him if he did that.
It would be wild.
I'd be like, yeah, we're toast. Like, we're donezo.
We're cooked for 2024.
Honestly.
We'll see you in 2025.
That would be a different way to address these struggles. To be a little cheeky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, season's over. I mean, we've never been to an ALCS before. We've never been to a World Series before. We've never won a World Series before. We've never won an AL West before. Like, that is a way to go about it.
Yeah.
They'll be almost like condescending and pushing back a little bit. And then when you win, people will use this quote at the end of the season, and they'll say, Dana Brown knew. And then they got that emoji with the snorting nose. But instead, they're doing this, and I'm sorry, but I'm calling for a boycott on baseball cards. You know what? Next baseball card I find, assuming it has no value, I'm going to burn it. I'm going to set it on fire.
Burn it.
I'm going to burn the next baseball card I see.
Mm.
Is that arson? I don't know.
I think you'll be okay.
Assuming I do it outside and don't burn anything down with it.
Yeah, let's not do it in the studio.
But I demand that everyone do to their baseball cards, the nearest baseball card, assuming it has no value, what they wanted to do to a theoretical Deshaun Watson jersey that they might have had once his ass was out of town.
Yeah, it's funny. I love that. Oh, no.
Atlanta.
No.
What in the good googly moogly is this?
All right. We just got a new margarita that's going to be on the menu in a couple weeks.
It is.
He's literally about to torch something.
Wait a second.
Right now.
Let's see.
We got Jeff here from Highway Cantina. It's on fire right now.
Yeah, we just thought we wanted something big and splashy and on fire, right? Because fire's fun. And we just aren't eating. We got pictures of it today. Should be on the menu officially next week or so.
Okay.
We're calling it the Large Marge. It's basically almost four margaritas. Put this on the table and share it.
Well, listen, Large Marge, RIP, she would be proud of this. And
yeah.
I feel like my liver is going to be a burning wreckage if I take that to town. That is an incredible array.
Wow. So four margaritas in one.
These guys know how to put on a show here,
yeah,
folks.
This
if
is
you haven't
great.
Been down here before, like, this is –
woo. You know what this means, Paul?
It's time we're going to be intoxicated during the show?
It's time to go to break.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm ready to start putting this thing to work a little bit. There's
this
four straws. Just,
there are four straws.
There's four of us
four
right now.
Four different straws so you can keep track of which straw is whose.
I like that.
This is
all
the size of an actual fishbowl.
Well, we are Brian McDonald going first dibs on the large. Very good. Well,
classic BMAC.
Well, now we're going to go to break here so we can start to participate as well. And it's Wednesday. Which means it's time to find out who's being soft in sports. Soft Boys is next on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. True Western tradition, baby. Unlock that inner cowboy of yours. Okay, maybe you don't want one of these amazing margaritas right in front of us. But, you know, if you get some Pendleton Whiskey in your life, you can make all sorts of similar drinks. Did you know you can make a margarita with Pendleton Whiskey? Yeah, that's right. You can. You can do all sorts of things. Go on to their website. Check out all the cocktails you can make with Pendleton Whiskey. What I like is one big rock, two fingers worth of it. It's so good. It's smooth. It's refreshing. Not too sweet, just the way I like it. I think it pairs very well with coffee. It's made with the finest northern grains. It is cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood. And on top of that, barrel-aged in American oak. You blend it all together, and you're going to get yourself an amazing whiskey. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition. Get it at your local liquor store or drizzly.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
Soft boys on a Wednesday here on Glatton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina. We are participating in the new Large Marge that's going to be on their menu.
I believe this is called a scorpion fishbowl at other places.
Yes, that sounds right.
So essentially what they gave us is a absolutely massive goblet with four straws in it with I believe grapefruit in the middle, which they set on fire, and they presented us this to us, and holy crap, it was so freaking good.
Yeah, it's
the
very
first
good.
Sip, and I'm just scared of this as we continue to sit here, but yeah, you guys got to come out to Highway Cantina. This place is fantastic.
Yeah, great place to watch, and really, you know, pregame for an Astros game if you want to.
Pre-game, post-game on a day like today.
It's a half-mile walk from the stadium, and there's cheap parking across the street.
That's the other thing, too. You want to park?
I saw the parking here, and I was like, I'm going to probably come here every Astros game forever.
I already have been doing it. And, yeah, this way I won't have to spend $895 on a marg in the park. Joe, to start off, Soft Boys, especially considering it seems that we're getting another side of the story potentially today. You sent me a text before today's show, and this is the softest thing ever from a man who is very important to, one, me just being in this industry, but two, to my sports fandom. Andrew Callahan tweeted this out. He's a Patriots reporter and columnist for the Boston Herald. According to ESPN, citing a source with someone close to Robert Kraft and another person close to Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft called Falcons owner Arthur Blank during Atlanta's coaching search to warn him not to trust Bill Belichick.
Kraft denied this claim through a team spokesperson, but we all saw that the Dynasty documentary on Apple TV. The way that he is handling the end of the Bill Belichick era, the man who is the reason that he made it to nine, mm-hmm. won six, had an undefeated regular season, Tom Brady a huge part of it, but this is the kind of gratitude and loyalty Robert Kraft shows the greatest coach in football history. This is disgusting to me, and soft, and petty, and small in so many ways, if it's true. And I don't want it to be true, Joe. I'm a little biased here, but my God, it sure as hell seems true.
I mean, between this and the documentary, it definitely feels true. You know, the documentary clearly paints Bill Belichick in a light that's all bad, and it's made by Kraft Productions.
Yep.
So now Belichick's apparently on McAfee right now, so I'm curious what he's going to be saying about this or if he'll even be asked today. Because I know I like Pat. Sometimes he's a little soft with some of his questions because he doesn't want to really piss off all of his guests, which I understand. But this is clearly a very ugly breakup. Like, this is as bad as it gets. Like, this goes back to probably the Garoppolo stuff with Tom Brady when Bill Belichick, what he wanted to move on from Tom and start focusing on Jimmy. It didn't work out, so they traded Garoppolo. Brady and Belichick, like, that relationship breaks up, and that's why Brady wins a Super Bowl elsewhere. It's just, it's all kind of bad and ugly, and an ugly breakup, to say the least. And this happens, but I can imagine why you'd be very frustrated with this.
It's pathetic.
It's soft.
If it's true, it's so soft. You're that insecure about Bill Belichick elsewhere? This has all the makings of talking trash about somebody because you don't want them to hook up with somebody else.
Well, he doesn't. I mean, because, like, what happens to Kraft's legacy if next year Bill Belichick ends up being the coach of the Bears with Caleb Williams and wins the Super Bowl? Like, merging our lives together.
Look, it's Kirk Cousins, but Falcons last year had a lot of skilled players.
Yeah.
The record was not bad.
Yeah.
The quarterback position was the clear weakness of the team. Imagine if instead of, no offense to Raheem Morris, instead of Raheem Morris, the Falcons had Belichick going into this year. They would be so much better. And this makes so much sense as to why Belichick didn't get hired by anybody this coaching cycle.
Yeah, they said Belichick didn't finish in the top three of the Falcons coaching
search.
Which
is crazy. There's no reason as to why that would happen. I get that he's old and maybe you don't want to give him too much control, but this makes the most sense as to why Bill Belichick did not get hired. And I'm disgusted by this on a similar level to how disgusted I was with when the Red Sox fired Terry Francona back in 2011 and made it seem like he was an addict, made it seem like he was going through a divorce and cheating on his wife, put a bunch of stuff out there through their arm. They used to own the Boston Globe. I think they still do.
Yeah.
And that was led to me not liking the Boston Red Sox anymore. This is very similar to me, and I don't really know what to think.
No, it's very soft. It's just one of those things where I know relationships don't ever end perfect. They rarely ever do. There's so few Jerome Bettis moments, right? Where, like, he wins a Super Bowl in his hometown of Detroit with the Steelers and walks away. He's the hero of the franchise. But, like, I mean, now Dusty Baker could have done this by winning a World Series and leaving. But he chose not to. But this is the going in the direction you hate to see, because it's not just now that it affects, it ruins the good stuff down the road. Like, I think about this from my perspective, because, like, there's really no, I can't think of a Houston comp, like, off the top of my head. Like, who are they not going to bring back from 2017? I guess it's Luno, but even then, I think eventually they'll bring Luno back when they celebrate the 2017 Astros.
They better.
I think they will. But, like, Michael and Scotty will never be together in the same room again to celebrate the Bulls. Belichick and Kraft might never ever be together again. Like, that stuff sucks. Like, I would hate for we brought up Luno yesterday. The Astros better figure that out.
I think, though, that Belichick and Brady have actually buried the hatchet. I think when it comes to Belichick and Kraft, Kraft is trying to have it both ways, where he's claiming plausible deniability for the documentary, and on top of that, he's doing probably this with a statement that he made when it comes to talking about how Arthur Blank, he told him that you can't trust him. But
yeah,
I'm sorry, I don't believe him.
I don't either.
And you know, if and I don't know what Belichick's saying on McAfee, but
if Belichick doesn't say anything, I will believe that this happened.
Yeah.
And Belichick is the kind of person who I don't think spills state secrets. You know, especially, of course, when he's in front of, you know, a bunch of reporters like us. But even with an ex-player like Pat McAfee, who played against him on the Colts, man, this is just such a bad look.
Yeah.
And I am, honestly, I'm embarrassed. Never thought I'd say this. I'm embarrassed by Robert Kraft. I was kind of embarrassed with the Jupiter, Florida thing, too. But this is...
So this goes above Jupiter, Florida for the Robert Kraft saga?
No. I mean, I'm not allowed to publicly have the opinion that this works, but I will say that I kind of assume that all NFL owners do terrible stuff like that. But this is so petty and low if it's true. And it feels like it's true because it just feels on brand with the way that everything has gone down between these two over the last couple of months.
Other things that are soft, people freaking out about how much money Caitlin Clark's going to make in the WNBA.
This is the way it is. The salary is set up where she's going to make $76,000 or so. And it's because the WNBA, from a revenue perspective, is it $60 million?
Mm-hmm. That's about right.
It's not much.
Yeah, it's... Look, why in theory people are, like, they see this number, it's low. Like, a lot of Americans make more than that. Or a lot of people
listening
make more money than Caitlin Clark.
A couple of OnlyFans stars who went to Cancun over spring break and made $250,000 through filming, let's just say, exploits.
Okay.
They made four times as much as Caitlin Clark will this entire year in the WNBA.
But sport is just, it's behind. Now, this is their moment.
It could be their moment. I mean, I will say, the rating side of the college basketball, I'm not sure that's going to apply to the professional level, but I do think it is interesting that per Michael Rubin of Fanatics, which is also a company we don't necessarily trust these days.
Dude, they're ripping pants again yesterday in baseball
games.
Oh,
boy. But they said that Caitlin Clark sold more jerseys on draft night than any other player has on draft night.
If the WNBA is ever going to be an important sport, there's really no other way to cut it. I'm just going to be honest. If the WNBA is ever going to be like a massive success and like more relevant to the sports world, this is their moment. Now, like, these salaries are still going to be staggeringly different, but like you look back to 1991 before the NBA really took off, right? Because like 91, 92, when you have the Dream Team, that's when the NBA starts to like full gas pedal accelerate. Patrick Ewing was the highest paid player in 1990-91 at $4 million. That's obviously way more than Caitlin Clark's going to make this year. But then you have the dream team, and now you've got guys in the NBA, you know, 40 years later, whatever it is, making $60 million a year. So, like, this is the WNBA's moment where, like, I get why it's a staggering number. Also because she's making so much less than she made in college because of NIL. But, like, it's not – it's just the way it is. Like, it's nothing to freak out about because there's just not the revenue. Like, you can't just pay people. That's how businesses fail. The NBA still owns the WNBA. Like, they can't just give out money even though she's worth way more. That's just not how their contracts work.
Exactly.
So there's nothing to freak out about.
People, they don't think about the economic side of it. It is easy to be outraged about something without context. And, look, the WNBA, it just doesn't make money. Will it make more money with Caitlin Clark in it? Yes. How much more? I don't know. How much more interest will it have? I don't know. I'll be honest, I'm skeptical that either are going to increase a significant amount, despite the best wishes of so many people out there who really want this thing to work. And you know what? Cool. Like, we all should be like, you know what? Let's see. I'm not going to poo-poo it.
Yeah.
I know that I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it, but that's a me thing. A lot of people argue I don't like sports.
Yeah, but like
that's kind of true.
There's no local team, so there's not even like a
there's
reason.
No comments. Exactly, like the greatest WNBA team of all time. What reason do I gotta watch?
Like, if she was drafted to the Houston Comets, I gotta feel differently.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, greatest dynasty in Houston sports history.
I don't know if this is soft or not. It's just a bummer.
Hit me.
Last night, with 3 minutes left to go in the playing game, Zion Williamson left with a hamstring injury. He has been ruled out for the next playing game versus Sacramento Kings.
I can't call him soft.
I don't think I can either.
He had 40-11.
Because he looks less doughy than he used to.
He had 40-11. They would have beaten the Lakers last night if he played the whole game. It was a tie game when he left. He had 40, 11, and 6. No, I didn't watch it. I will give him a lot of credit for finally having an awesome postseason performance, if you want to count this as the postseason. But, no, you can't call him soft.
Nah, yeah, probably not. But he has so many injuries all the time. It's hard not to think he's a little soft. But he looked very angry.
No.
It's just, it's a bummer for the NFL. Bill Belichick has also already goated himself as the best backdrop of all time.
Oh, look at all those trophies.
He has the 6 Super Bowl trophies behind him.
Well, there's
4 trophies.
Yeah.
They're not all Super Bowl trophies, it looks like. Some of those look like they're AFC Championship trophies as well. But it is just only Bill Belichick and Tom Brady can have backdrops like that. All right, what is going on in the world? Well, sometimes you find out that your co-host is a board member. Why? What will Paul Gallant change for you if you live in his neighborhood? We'll find out next. And how miserable Paul Gallant's about to make himself on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting from Highway Cantina in Edo. Great spot before an Astros game, during an Astros game, after. Awesome spot for you, especially on a day like today during a day game. I'd love to come here after a day game. So come on out, come say hi. We'll be out here all day till 6 o'clock. We'll be out here a couple other times in the coming months as well, so this will not be your last opportunity to come see us at Highway Cantina. Before we get to the fact that Paul was forced into being a new member of the HOA, we got official news today. Yesterday, first, Awful Announcing and others started to put together this story that Jontay Porter, the former Raptors player, also had a FanDuel account. This FanDuel account, he was betting millions of dollars on other sports, on non-NBA.
He's a straight addict, yes. Like Ipe, the translator for Shohei Ohtani, allegedly is.
He had so he had all these bets going on FanDuel through this VIP account. They knew it was him, but the account in question was a DraftKings account. Well, today, the NBA did the absolute right thing, and they put a lifetime ban on Jontay Porter. He was betting on NBA games through this DraftKings account anywhere from $15 to $22,000. None of the games involved Jontay Porter. However, unlike Calvin Ridley, and unlike at this point to our knowledge of Shohei Ohtani, Jontay Porter, when he was on the Raptors G League team, did in fact bet on the Raptors to lose games. $20,000. Bets. He won $22,000 and he just got banned from the NBA.
It goes to show you how unseriously G League players take the G League. I know Sean has said this a bunch on this show and the Paul Gallant show as well, where essentially no one takes that league seriously. No one wants to actually play in that league. Mm. To bet on your team to lose in it, I mean.
Yeah, it's just.
It's even more disrespect that way. He deserves to be banned for life. There is a weird part of me that wishes a more relevant player did this. Exactly. I'm curious as to who would be kicked out and who wouldn't be kicked out. There's got to be somebody who only gets a year-long ban. There's probably going to be a cover-up if it's a good enough player.
That's what it would be. There'll be a cover-up because you've now set a very clear precedent. You bet on the NBA. You bet on your team. Even if you're on the G League affiliate at the time, you're still a member of the Raptors organization. You are banned for life. I respect Adam Silver to do no wiggle room on this. It's you bet on the sport. This is a very different approach than the NFL. Like Calvin Ridley got a year for betting on NFL games. And he bet on the Atlanta Falcons to win, yes, in a parlay, but he bet on the NFL. They gave him a year suspension. They acted like it was indefinite, but we all knew it was only going to be a year. So Adam Silver is clearly taking a very different approach, and I think they have to because of Tim Donaghy. your the history of your sport says, like, you have, like, a gambling problem within your referees. If you watch the untold stories on Donaghy, he accuses everyone's favorite referee, Scott Foster, of betting on games, who's still an act. We saw him last night in the play-in tournament. So I'm not surprised that this is the action they took. It's probably the right one, to your point. If it's a big player, cover up.
It does make me wonder about, we're spitballing here, all those people who have the conspiracy theories about Michael Jordan and why he left the NBA for 2 years.
I can't remember. What side are you on that?
I don't buy that he left the NBA because of gambling. I think there's actually enough of a backstory as to why, because his father was killed, as to why he would go and play baseball. Mm-hmm. But, again, I don't know all the ins and outs, and I know I'm not going to change a lot of conspiracy theorists' minds. I was five when this all went down.
Yeah.
So, truly, all I have is, to go off of is speculation. But that's what I'm wondering about. The NFL has been very fortunate from this perspective. From what we understand about guys like Calvin Ridley, those guys on the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, like Jameson Williams. There was a bunch of those guys. Yeah.
From what we were told, at least, and maybe we should raise our eyebrows at what we were told, they only gambled on themselves, and they only gambled as part of parlays.
Or, like, some of them were not on the NFL as well, but they would place bets on NFL property, which is against their rules. So, I mean, and you have to take them for their word, like, now, at this point, like, I would tend to not believe these leagues when this is happening. The biggest difference between this and Ohtani is that Ohtani got caught because it was a larger investigation to illegal bookies, right? That's the only reason why Ipe got caught in all of this. If not, like, he could have just, in theory, kept stealing money from Ohtani if Ohtani really wasn't involved. I'm like you. I don't totally believe that. But this one is because DraftKings and FanDuel are, they're actually regulating what's going on.
I will say that that's been the best part about these companies is that they are not just taking the money and looking the other way. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, this is bad. And it does make you wonder about the people who make these bets. Do they really think they're going to get away with it? You have to be an idiot at this point in time, especially now that this has happened. You're going to get caught.
Okay, but like, think about these athletes.
Because they don't want to lose. The house never wants to lose.
It's not just athletes, but like, think about, like, just as an example. Think about Josh Gordon.
Yeah,
Josh Gordon was in a drug testing protocol for years and couldn't pass a drug test. At one point, the NFL now has narrowed down their drug testing, if you've never been caught before, to once a year. The NFL players will get tested for, like, marijuana and everything in the next 2 months, and then they won't be tested again the rest of the season. And players still get caught, and they know when this one test is coming. So, like, I think they do. Like, they think they're going to get away with it. Like, the DraftKings one, he was telling his buddy to bet, but they somehow were able to connect all of it back
right
to him.
Right, yeah.
Where the FanDuel account, the VIP account, was actually verified as his, but it's just, yeah, people are stupid, man.
Well, yeah,
it's like,
I mean, it's, I'm like, stupid, like, they're, like not that stupid.
Like, did Rashee Rice think he was gonna get away with walking away from an accident when she was driving 120 miles
for
an
a
hour?
Moment in time, probably.
Yeah,
he probably did.
Like, people are dumb, man.
People are dumb. But now with this is the one good thing that has come out. The punishments are so strong for these people who are potentially affecting the integrity of the game. And that's good. You hope that you'd see that with referees, because obviously you have what happened with Tim Donaghy and everybody else in the NBA. It might still be going on to an extent.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Angel Hernandez is in on the take. Given some of the calls he had. Although I got to say, listen, I don't want to go full Ben DeBose. There were some brutal the strike zone was very large yesterday for the Astros.
It was.
It was very large. Whoever was calling the pitches or calling it behind the plate, I don't know who that guy was, but there were multiple times where the guy clearly threw a ball outside the zone. Altuve, good for him. He has got the patience of a saint. I would have gotten ejected, I think, for a couple of those.
Yeah, some of the – Yiner's kind of in that category, right? He kind of does the Bregman thing. It's kind of annoying me. You're not good enough as Bregman. Where, like, they just, like, they don't like a call. Especially when they're painted. Like, if it's close, you just have to kind of take it. Like, just accept it.
But it gets old after a while when the same umpire is calling them and you feel like it's out of the zone. And, I mean, I wonder if these guys, obviously there's probably limited access to the television cameras given what they, you know, might have done. But if I were in the dugout and I saw on the television broadcast or in the clubhouse and saw on the television broadcast that it was out of the K zone like that, I would probably get a baseball bat and smash the phone.
And if you're a Yiner, you're probably frustrated too because last year you could challenge it. Because in the minor, like the Space Cowboys still have the challenge system where you get three challenges per game.
Yeah.
Which I do love, I will say. Like when we had the ESPN 975 outing in Sugar Land last year, and that was the first opportunity I got to see the challenge system in play. I don't know why it's not in baseball. Like, I do think it is. It takes less than 5 seconds, and it's cool because they show you on the video board. It's very efficient, and you only get three of them, so there's even strategy of, like if Alex Bregman challenged a strike in the first inning, I would be pissed at him. Save it for the ninth.
Yeah.
Like, save it for when the game matters.
Yeah.
So last night, Paul, you were, you know, yesterday you told me, like, I got this meeting tonight. And I was like, okay, Paul.
Right. We're in the middle of the afternoon. I got a meeting. And
like, okay.
We were supposed to have an HOA meeting for the entire condo complex that I live at about a month ago. And it got canceled the day of. So I get an email yesterday. And I assume that this email was because it had been rescheduled, and I guess that I lost in my emails, though. My emails are pretty organized. Generally, I am able to find everything, and I save things that are necessary. So I'm like, okay, I guess I missed this. So I drive down to this place. I get there. Door's locked.
Okay.
So I'm mad that I drove all the way over here. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, maybe I'm going to go to Lizard's Lounge or something like that to say hi to Vanessa for Vanessa's birthday. Happy birthday, Vanessa Richardson, my old co-host. So I'm driving to go there, which is right down the street from where the HOA meeting is, and someone calls me from this place, and they say, oh, no, this meeting's going on. So I get there, but it's in this small room, and there's only a couple people there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, huh, why did I get put on this email list? So from the sound of things, I think they're looking for fresh blood to add to the HOA. And I think that they think that me, my dumbass, because...
Well, because aren't you vocal at these meetings in the past?
I was vocal at the last meeting I went to. I just brought up a couple of issues. But for the most part, I sat back and I ate popcorn because everyone was yelling at each other and I thought it was hilarious.
Mm.
So this meeting, I brought up a couple of things that were going on. But I'm just sitting there. And the people who are on the actual HOA board, at the very end, they're like, well, we're looking to add to the board, and they basically implied that I'm on. And I'm like, I don't know about this, Jim, because I don't know if I want this additional responsibility. I'm an idiot. Like, I'm a total idiot. I'm irresponsible. I notice things that I don't like, and I complain about them. So I'm well on my way to being a Karen.
That's why I think you're right for this.
No, I don't want this. I've seen a couple of people already on the Twitch and on our text line that are saying, like, no, Paul, you don't want any part of an HOA. I agree. I don't want any part of an HOA. But I think I have been put on this HOA without even HOA board, without even asking to be on the HOA board.
Okay, a couple questions. Is it volunteer?
Yes, I'm not getting paid for this. I agree.
Then here's the thing, Paul. I have no more questions. Like, I'm out. Like,
but okay.
You already do like five jobs between this, the digital stuff we do, your own podcast.
It's fine. It's fine. It's another responsibility. I care about the investment I made. After all, I'm a condo owner as I press off my shoulders. There is a part of me that looks at this property. I'm like, it's a good place. I want to make it nicer. I want to increase the property value. And I think they have some good ideas. But I think I have some decent ideas, at least.
All right. Can you give me – we'll do it when we get back. We got to go to
break. No, we don't need to get the ideas.
I want to hear one of Paul's ideas.
I don't think anyone cares about HOA stuff. I think a lot of people are like, Paul, you're becoming a member of the aristocracy. You're becoming everything that is wrong with America by joining an HOA. And to an extent, I agree. But we'll talk about this down the road, okay?
All right.
I don't even know if this is official, but it did feel like I was unofficially made a member of the board on my HOA last night, and I'm a little bit terrified about how much responsibility I have accidentally taken on.
All right. It's Paulie, board member, and Joe George broadcasting live from Highway Cantina, Glotton George. We are in Edo at Highway Cantina. Come hang out before the Astros game. Watch the Astros game here. If you're on your way into the ballpark right now after the Astros hopefully get a W today versus the Braves, stop on by. The Bees will be here until 6 o'clock. Rafael Stone got a contract extension, it seems. He said it was a little leaked information But Rafael Stone will be the Rockets' general manager for the foreseeable future. He, you know, might have tipped his hand on his offseason plans. Do we believe him? That's next on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.